It's Marketplace Tech for November 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today in San Francisco, residents will be voting on something called Proposition F. The ballot initiative is also called the Airbnb initiative because it could change how short-term rentals in the city get regulated. Our senior tech correspondent Molly Wood has been looking at this. Molly, today's vote is not just about Airbnb though, right?
If you look at the long list of things that San Franciscans are voting on, about half of them are related to housing and some form of affordable housing. And there are measures to build affordable housing, measures to not allow any more building unless it's affordable housing. And then, of course, this Prop F measure. A lot of people are calling it the Airbnb proposition. It would limit short-term rentals in the city to 75 days a year. And it would put in some reporting requirements that required people who rent out space in their homes to report how often they do so and whether it's their primary residence.
Depending on how the vote goes, might this create problems for Airbnb in other cities?
It could. I think that's probably Airbnb's biggest concern, is that it would become a precedent for other cities. And a lot of other cities already have some sort of restriction on short-term rentals. You know, most people think that Prop F is not going to pass. It's really broad. And because it's a ballot initiative, it would be basically a permanent solution. But it does mark sort of the first salvo, the opening salvo, and what's likely to be sort of an ongoing battle. San Francisco obviously has a ton of housing issues. And Airbnb is arguing that it's putting forth a creative way for people to solve some of those issues, to provide short-term housing, and frankly, to get income that allows them to stay in their own homes.
We'll have to see how the vote goes. Molly Wood, senior tech correspondent at Marketplace. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ben.
By the way, there are currently an estimated 10,000 short-term rental listings in San Francisco. At the ripe old age of 75, HP has split into two companies. Over the weekend, HP Inc. and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise started trading and acting as two separate entities. Peter Burris is VP and Research Director at Forrester. He says a split is a good way for the company to move more quickly.
The industry is in the midst of a pretty important transformation that requires a much greater focus on customers. And by splitting the company in the way it has, it's going to be able to emphasize its enterprise customers distinct from its more consumer-oriented customers.
The regular end users will hopefully keep buying printers and computers from HP Inc., while HPE can focus on the newer stuff, like the cloud.
On the enterprise side, a lot of emphasis on its software strategy, on the development community and how it utilizes HP tools to create new software, and very importantly, on the service capabilities that it has to help people do that.
Peter Burris at Forrester will see whether the split proves successful for HP. The web has been slow to cater to big spenders in the luxury market, but there's a change happening. And one of the latest examples is from the art world, where more and more old school auction houses are partnering with newer organizations to make fine art available to people interested in buying works online. Recently, the organization Artsy partnered with the auction house Sotheby's for a contemporary art auction called Input Output. Sebastian Quillich is president and COO of Artsy. Sebastian, is this about data?
Data changes every industry, and the art world is no different. It just moves a little more slowly. And if you think about the ways in which this can happen, for an auction such as the Sotheby's Artsy auction we just did, it allows you from the very beginning to both think about what are the artworks and artists that receive the most traffic, the most bids, the most inquiries on Artsy, and how can you use that data to think about what to include in the auction. You can then use that same data to decide how to market the works in a more targeted way. And of course, because this is an online platform, you can do this much faster than you would put together a traditional auction. For this auction, the bidding is happening around the world, and it means that people have the option to bid from their desktops, from their iPhones, or from Artsy kiosks at the exhibition center, but there was no in-the-room auction.
I'm just listening to you describe this, and it sounds a lot like a lot of sort of online retail that already happens. Can you talk a little bit about why you're partnering with these older auction houses instead of sort of striking out on your own?
We really believe that there is great value if you want to grow quickly and create a platform for all the world's art to partner with existing players rather than try and do everything on our own, right? Artsy right now has 4,000 galleries on the platform. If we were going out and trying to strike partnerships with every individual artist, it just wouldn't be scalable. Secondarily, the galleries and other entities in the art world play very important roles. But when you get into questions like just finding buyers, the traditional art gallery is at a disadvantage to a platform that allows them to reach a much larger audience. So the combination of some of the traditional elements of the art world combined with a platform that allows you to reach an increasingly global and increasingly tech-savvy audience is, we believe, the right combination to grow the online market.
Sebastian Quilich, he is president and COO of Artsy. Sebastian, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me, Ben. I appreciate it.
More from us, as always, at marketplacetech.org. And Volkswagen's woes are far from over. This week, we've added another wrinkle to the story. The Environmental Protection Agency issued yet another violation notice this week to the carmaker, suggesting it's discovered more emissions standard cheating software, this time in Porsches. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.